No one looks at Saturn by accident. Out there, at the edge of the solar system, beyond the planets you were taught to name in school, spins a colossal sphere, shrouded in mist. And something else. An echo. A presence. What if Saturn isn't what we were told? What if it's not a planet, but a prison? A cosmic jail, carefully designed, not to imprison bodies, but to trap souls. For centuries, cultures across the world have pointed to the same place, the same symbol, the same god. Kronos, the devourer, the titan of time, the great judge of the dead. In occultism, in ancient religions, in secret lodges from Babylon to the present day, the pattern repeats. Saturn is tied to suffering, to judgment, and to the recycling of the human soul. This isn't a modern theory. It's a secret that's been here all along, hidden in hermetic texts, in alchemical symbols, in religious architecture, in myths that survived the Inquisition of thought. And they all point to one thing. Reincarnation is not a blessing. It's a sentence, a cycle with no end, a wheel that spins and spins, just like Saturn's rings. Today, you'll learn why the ancients feared Saturn, why it was cast down from the throne of the heavens, and how its influence right now might still be affecting your thoughts, your life, your soul. Saturn wasn't always seen as just a planet. Long before telescopes or space missions, ancient civilizations already feared it, revered it, and wove its presence into the darkest corners of their mythology. It wasn't a distant rock in the sky, it was a god, and not a kind one. To the Greeks, he was Kronos, the most feared of the Titans, a being who rose to power by overthrowing his own father, and then, consumed by fear, began swallowing each of his children the moment they were born. Not out of hatred, but because he knew the truth. Time devours everything, even itself. This ancient myth isn't simply a story, it's a coded truth. Kronos, or Saturn, represents something much more disturbing than a mythological king. He symbolizes repetition, imprisonment, the endless cycle of birth and death. In various esoteric traditions, Saturn is not a creator, it's the warden, the force that traps souls in karma, in samsara, in a reality that endlessly recycles itself while keeping you unaware of the trap. Which brings us to the obvious question: why Saturn? Why this planet and not another? The answer lies not just in mythology, but in observable reality. Saturn is the farthest planet visible to the naked eye, which made it the final celestial body known to the ancients. It was the boundary, the edge of the known cosmos. Cold, distant, slow, it takes nearly 30 years to complete one orbit. In astrology, it's the great teacher, but also the strict punisher. It governs structure, time, limitation, suffering, and consequences. It's not about growth, it's about paying your debt. But beyond the symbolic, Saturn is unique for another reason. At its north pole, there exists a massive, perfectly geometric hexagon, a storm system unlike anything else found in the solar system. It remains stable, unchanging for decades, a six-sided vortex that corresponds eerily with sacred geometry and the shadow form of a cube that we'll see repeated over and over again in religious rituals, sacred architecture, even in the robes of judges and clerics. Saturn also emits sound, not metaphorically, literally. NASA has recorded strange radio waves emanating from the planet, and when translated into audible frequencies, they don't sound like natural space noise. They sound like a transmission, rhythmic, mechanical, almost intentional. In alchemy, Saturn is lead, the heaviest of the base metals. It represents the first stage of spiritual transformation, the nigredo, or blackening, the death of the old self before rebirth is possible. In Kabbalah, Saturn is linked to Bina, the realm of understanding, but also structure and restriction, the cosmic womb that both creates and contains. In Gnostic texts, Saturn echoes in the figure of the Demiurge, a false creator who builds a flawed material world and traps the soul inside it, a prison disguised as reality, a system ruled not by freedom, but by repetition, decay, and forgetfulness. So why Saturn? Because nothing else fits the role so perfectly. Every aspect of it, its mythological history, astrological weight, physical structure, and symbolic presence, points to the same conclusion. Saturn doesn't merely represent the trap, it may be the trap, a wheel that spins without end, a cycle we're born into, die in, and return to, without ever remembering how we got here. If Saturn represents structure, law, and judgment, it's no surprise that his shadow stretches across the most sacred traditions of human history. The figure we've been following, this devouring god, this cosmic warden, didn't vanish as civilizations evolved. He adapted. And over time, his influence became more subtle, more symbolic, but no less powerful. In Babylon, Saturn was worshipped in the form of Ninurta, a god of war, harvest, and discipline. Not a benevolent deity, but a strict enforcer of order. In ancient Egypt, his essence appeared in Osiris, not only as lord of the underworld, but as the final judge of the soul. And in Rome, Saturnus presided over a strange and unsettling celebration known as Saturnalia, a temporary suspension of the social order, where roles were reversed, slaves were treated as kings, and chaos reigned. But beneath the surface, it was a controlled chaos, ritualized, scheduled, and always followed by the restoration of strict order. Even in its moments of madness, Saturn ruled. In 1656, a mystic monk in Florence claimed that during a ritual trance, he saw a black throne in the sky, a cube pulsing with voices. He believed it to be Saturn's seat of judgment. For writing about this vision, his work was seized by the Inquisition, and he was never heard from again. But these were not isolated cults. Saturn's archetype didn't fade with the fall of empires. It migrated into the very heart of monotheistic religions. In Judaism, Saturn still governs the Sabbath, Shabbat, the seventh day, a day not of joy, but of cessation, a divine pause observed with discipline and structure. It is the day of Saturn, the day of restriction, of holding back. In Islam, we see his geometry encoded in the Kaaba, a perfect black cube, the focal point of pilgrimage for millions. The faithful circle it again and again, mimicking the orbital motion that echoes Saturn's own rings. And in Christianity, Saturn's signature appears in ritual garments, the black robes worn by judges, priests, and even scholars, a symbolic reflection of his dominion over law, hierarchy, and tradition. Then, there's the geometry. At Saturn's North Pole, astronomers discovered something that should not exist, a six-sided storm, a hexagon, vast, stable, and strangely perfect. This isn't poetic metaphor, it's observable, measurable reality. That same hexagon, when flattened and mirrored, becomes the six-pointed star, the hexagram, the Star of David, the Seal of Solomon, a powerful and ancient symbol used in esoteric traditions to bind, to contain, to seal. Occultists refer to it as the Black Star, and when rendered in three dimensions, the hexagon transforms into a cube, the same shape as the Kaaba, the Philosopher's Stone, the alchemical prison of matter. In symbolic systems, the cube is not just a container, it's a cage, an object that reflects stability, but also limitation, the perfection of form, and the loss of movement. Saturn, in this context, becomes more than a planet or a mythological figure. he becomes the silent architect of the physical world's laws. His symbolism shapes not only temples and rituals, but calendars and culture, even language. Saturday is his day, the final day of the week, the reset before the next cycle begins. But perhaps the most unsettling aspect of all this is how little of it we notice. The rituals continue. The symbols surround us. The archetype persists, but the awareness is gone. Saturn has become invisible by becoming normal. Saturn is not absent from our lives. He's everywhere, hidden in plain sight. If Saturn truly represents the boundary, the weight, the endless repetition of time, then we have to ask, what is it containing? What force is it holding in place from the distant edge of our solar system? According to many esoteric and Gnostic traditions, the answer is unsettlingly direct. It's holding us. Or more precisely, it's holding what we are once the body dies. In the Gnostic worldview, the material world isn't a divine gift. It's a carefully constructed trap. The physical universe wasn't made by a benevolent creator, but by a lesser force known as the Demiurge, whose purpose is to keep human souls confined within a false reality. The soul in this vision is not evolving, it's imprisoned. Recycled through endless lives, deceived into believing this is growth. And Saturn, within that cosmology, isn't just symbolic. He's the enforcer, the regulator, the machine that keeps everything spinning. What many traditions describe as reincarnation or spiritual evolution, Gnostics interpret as a kind of energetic harvesting system. Samsara, the wheel of rebirth, isn't a ladder to liberation. It's a treadmill. You live, you forget, you suffer, you die. And then it starts all over again. Karma, rather than being a divine form of justice, becomes the mechanism used to justify this looping. The soul believes it deserves to return, and that's what makes the trap so effective. But some esoteric theories push this even further. They suggest that the afterlife experience itself, the light at the end of the tunnel, the voices of loved ones, the sense of peace, is not a path to heaven, but a simulation, a reset protocol. The soul, disoriented and vulnerable, is shown what it expects to see. It trusts, it complies, and it re-enters the cycle before even realizing it had a choice. And once again, Saturn appears, not as a passive rock in space, but as an active transmitter, a source of signal, a device. And this is where things cross the threshold from the mythic to the measurable. In 1981, NASA's Voyager spacecraft recorded something deeply strange about Saturn, a massive, perfectly shaped hexagon at its north pole, thousands of kilometers wide, rotating with almost supernatural precision. No other planet has anything like it, a six-sided vortex frozen in shape, persisting for decades. Scientists still don't understand how it formed or how it maintains such stability. But it's there, spinning silently like some kind of cosmic lock. And then there's the sound. Saturn emits radio waves, deep, oscillating pulses that can be picked up and translated into audio. What you hear is not the roar of cosmic wind, nor the static of empty space. It's something else, something structured, repetitive, mechanical. It sounds like a signal, which raises a very serious question. Is Saturn broadcasting something? In occult traditions, sound is never just sound. It's a force. Frequencies are believed to influence the mind, affect emotions, even alter awareness. Ancient chants, mantras, and harmonics were all built around this idea. And modern science, in its own way, is beginning to confirm it. We know that vibration can structure matter, that waves can influence brain activity. So what if this signal, the hum that pulses from Saturn, is part of the trap. Not just a sound, but a code. A frequency that locks the soul into a certain state, keeps the illusion running. Make sure we never ask too many questions. And when you add it all up, the symbol, the geometry, the sound, the myth, it starts to look less like coincidence and more like design. If Saturn is the core of this system, then time itself becomes a kind of fuel. Death and rebirth are not transitions, they're loops, and we are the ones being processed. Because Saturn doesn't just represent control. Saturn is control. He feeds on cycles, on memory, on repetition, and most of all, on time. We live our lives believing in choice, in purpose, in progress, when in reality, we may simply be moving along the path carved out for us by a system far older and far colder than we've ever imagined. By now, it's clear that Saturn's presence is not merely mythological, nor confined to the distant reaches of our solar system. It's systemic, symbolic, embedded not only in ancient rituals, but in the very architecture of our reality. And nowhere is this more apparent than in one of its most enduring and mysterious symbols, the Black Cube. The cube appears again and again throughout time, in the Kaaba at Mecca, circled endlessly by pilgrims, in Jewish tefillin, strapped to the forehead during prayer, in the robes of priests, judges, and scholars, the ritual black that marks authority and order. And in modern esoteric thought, the cube is Saturn's throne, his geometric signature, a perfect container, six faces, boundaries on all sides. It represents stability, yes, but also confinement, structure, and stasis. The cube is the trap. And it's not just outside us. It mirrors the structure of belief itself, the mental box we're conditioned to live in, to think within, to never question. David Icke's theory expands this further. Saturn, he suggests, is not just a planet. It's the central transmitter in a vast energetic architecture. The moon receives the signal, and together they project a field, one that overlays our perception and manipulates the bandwidth of our awareness. What we perceive as reality may be little more than an encoded illusion, a vibration broadcast into the mind, interpreted by senses we never chose. The prison, in this view, isn't made of walls. It's made of signals, frequencies, agreements we never consciously made. And the cube, it's the perfect metaphor, a symbol of limitation hidden in plain sight. We move within it, pray toward it, even dream inside it, never realizing it was built to contain us. But here's the paradox Saturn cannot control. What cannot be measured cannot be confined. Awareness, true awareness, is dimensionless. It's not bound by geometry or language or even time. It is the raw presence that sees the trap and steps beyond it. This is what the ancients tried to teach, buried beneath layers of metaphor and myth. That liberation isn't granted, it's remembered. That the walls of the cube dissolve the moment you see them for what they are. Projections, mental architecture, belief systems mistaken for truth. The escape doesn't come from outside, it comes from within, from the collapse of illusion. From the moment you stop identifying with the echo and begin listening to the silence behind it. Because if Saturn is the architect of the cube, then awareness is the door. And the key? It's not hidden. It's the very thing you've carried all along. The ability to remember who you are, beyond name, beyond form, beyond fear. So when you see the black cube again, on a flag, in a temple, in your dreams, don't look away. Look through it. Because the cube is not just a prison. It's a question. And the answer has always been you. After everything we've explored, myth, science, symbolism, religion, there's something that becomes hard to ignore. The idea that Saturn has always been more than just a planet. not just out there in the sky, but present in the systems that shape our lives, our beliefs, and even our perception of reality. But the point of all this isn't to create fear or to build a new myth to replace the old ones. It's to recognize a pattern, one that's repeated across time, cultures, and traditions, and to ask the right questions about it. Because once you understand what Saturn represents, you begin to understand the system you were born into. And more importantly, that you don't have to stay asleep inside it. This isn't about escaping the world or fighting some cosmic enemy. It's about realizing that many of the limits we've accepted, whether spiritual, mental, or cultural, aren't as fixed as they seem. That maybe the prison is built more from what we believe than from what actually is. Saturn, in this view, isn't the villain. It's the final checkpoint. The structure that pushes you to question structure. The symbol that dares you to go beyond symbols. And maybe that's the point of it all. Not to avoid the cube, but to understand what it means and to see how you've carried it with you without noticing. Freedom doesn't come from fighting the system. It comes from seeing it clearly and choosing to live differently. So if any of this resonated with you, if you found yourself thinking about things in a new way, or just reflecting a bit more deeply, feel free to leave your thoughts in the comments. What do you think Saturn really is? A symbol, a prison, a lesson? And if you're interested in more content like this, esoteric knowledge, hidden history, and tools for awakening consciousness, consider giving this video a like and subscribing to the channel. It helps a lot. And we're just getting started. Thanks for watching. Thanks for thinking. And wherever you are, stay awake. Stay aware.